watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
And good morning, Salem. It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2020, and a very special day in my life. It's my oldest grand treasure's birthday. Her name is Chloe, and she is 8 today, and that's something certainly to celebrate. She is the firstborn daughter to my daughter, Shelby, and her husband, Nathan, and got to talk to her a little bit this morning. It was so exciting as she sent me some pictures of what she got from her family for her birthday, and she likes to, now that she's 8, she likes to send me fun little videos of dancing and things. They're in Rapid City, South Dakota, and it's so fun with technology that we can stay connected with me being grandma, being so far away. So happy birthday to Chloe this morning. And so you're probably heading out the door wondering what to expect weather-wise today. It's partly cloudy outside today with a high temperature of 55. Our overnight low will be about 37. And currently here in the KSLM studio, it's 45 degrees. Looking around the region at headlines, this is kind of an interesting story that you may or may not have run across. Do you own an iPhone, perhaps? I know I have, and I have for several years. Well, iPhones started getting slower, remember, as it got older. And you may be due $25 for your troubles, that so-called throttling, which some suspected was a play by the company to get you to buy newer phones, has cost Apple $500 million in a proposed class action settlement, according to a new report in Bloomberg Law. The company denied any wrongdoing. In fact, Apple insisted that the slowdown was to preserve the life of the older phones. That didn't stop people from filing 66 proposed class suits between 2017 and June 2018. If the settlement is approved on April 3rd, it will call Apple to pay consumers $25 per iPhone, which may be adjusted up or down depending on how many iPhones are eligible, with a minimum total payout of $310 million. So are you due a payment? According to the Bloomberg Law Report, the proposed settlement covers all former or current U.S. owners of these models: iPhone 6, 6 Plus, 6S, 6S Plus, 7, 7 Plus, and SE. The devices in question were running the iOS 10.2.1 or later, and so that's something you may want to look into, because if you've had an iPhone and you've had some issues, I certainly have in the past, it may be something you can get a little refund for. And so as we continue to look through our news and headlines, I want to welcome you to Life Wednesday. Yes, on Wednesdays on the Good Morning Salem show right here, KSLM News, we're going to be celebrating life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and highlighting things affecting life and affecting our ability to protect life from conception until natural death. And so in the news nationally, you may have heard in the national headlines, today is a very strategic day at the Supreme Court. Out of Louisiana, the legislature there had provided and passed a law in that state stating that anybody seeking abortions, the doctors performing those abortions would have to have access to local hospitals. Oftentimes what happens is these abortion doctors are flown in and out of various states because it's not an admirable job to get into performing abortions. And so they're flown in and flown out, and they don't have visiting privileges to follow that continual care for patients into a local hospital. Therefore, the legislature in Louisiana passed a law stating that anybody performing an abortion in their state needs to have visiting privileges and be able to follow that patient if there's complications to the hospital. Well, that law was blocked, and now it's up in the Supreme Court, and our Supreme Court justices are there evaluating this law and the constitutional part of this law. And so it's a very big day for pro-life advocates across the country to be in prayer and to be watching, and certainly testimonies, hundreds of testimonies. And we're going to get into that a little bit as we get into our first segment here. Just a few items to note. Don't forget, on Sunday, we will be having our time change. We'll be springing forward. March will be daylight savings time. And some dates on the calendar, I'm going to keep hitting this drum. Oregon primary is right around the corner, May 19th, 2020. Registration deadline is Tuesday, April 28th. If you'd like an absentee ballot, you can request that by May 14th. With this being Life Wednesday, I am so excited about introducing you, my new friends here in Oregon, to a friend that I have had for several years. In fact, we have been on the front lines together. We've marched in D.C. together. We have marched in San Francisco together, and we worked on the front lines together in South Dakota. And I'm excited to share with you my friend, Dr. Pat Castle. Let me tell you a little bit about him, and we'll see how my technology skills are in bringing him up on the phone line here shortly. Dr. Pat Castle is the founder of Life Runners, the largest pro-life team in the world, with over 14,000 teammates ages 1 to 101 in 39 nations and 2,533 cities. Pat is an inspiring and unifying force for pro-life through faith, activism, courts, education. He was part of the movie Unplanned. Pat encountered St. Padre Pio during the Pikes Peak Ascent. He co-founded the Law of Life Summit and Across America Relay. Pat served as a CareNet Pregnancy Help Center chairman and is a research advisor for the Sidewalk Advocates. He completed the Notre Dame Vita Institute and is fourth degree knight. Pat directed youth retreats, engaged in CounTer, FCA, and RCIA. He grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and graduated from the Air Force Academy. Pat earned a PhD in nanoanalytical chemistry from the University of Illinois at Urbana and is a board member at the Institute for Theological Encounter with the Science and Technology. He did 10 military assignments, including the Weapons of Mass Destruction Defense Officer at the base closest to Osama bin Laden on 9/11. He briefed generals and members of Congress while in his Air Force Academy chemistry professor. Pat developed the ethics curriculum and coached the marathon team. Pat has raced in 22 marathons, highlighted by Marine Corps. His time there was two hours and 53 minutes, Boston 2 hours, 59 minutes, Pikes Peak 17th, Great Wall 2nd. Since retiring at the Medical Squadron Commander, he served as a chemistry teacher, then an industry executive, and now speaks across America. Pat and his family live in Nebraska, and his motto is All in Christ for Pro-Life. And I'm so excited to introduce to you my friend and now your friend, Pat Castle. And I'm hoping, Pat, are you there with me?
Hey, good morning, Stacy. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can. Good morning.
Awesome.
Oh, can you believe this? We've had some adventures, haven't we, through the years?
You know, if it wasn't you, I'd say I can't believe it. But based on the adventures and God's fingerprints all over our service together, I do believe it. I believe he had this orchestrated for your first Life Wednesday that is colliding with the first Wednesday of the month for Life Runners, where over 14,000 people today are wearing the same shirt that you have on today, Stacy, that says, Remember the Unborn on the back and a big cross on the front. Talk about evangelization and bold faith and witness for what our founding fathers intended, that we be God first for love of God and country. So here we are this morning. I believe it.
It's incredible. My first week here in Oregon, we had a pro-life rally at the Capitol in Salem, and I got my jersey out. In fact, it was my sweatshirt, which is the same one I wore when we were at the march, the rally there. Is it called March for Life in D.C.? And Walk for Life in San Francisco.
In San Fran, that's right.
Yes, and so that was my first experience, and I was here at the Capitol in a great turnout. I was so encouraged by all the Oregonians who are standing up for life and brave Oregonian standing for life, and lo and behold, I ended up kind of on the front page of the paper with my Life Runner shirt, and I think you and I had a discussion of how many Life Runners right now are in Oregon, and they're not very many, but that's going to change.
Many. I mean, you're serving kind of like serving in Ephesus when St. Paul walked in there. You know, that's similar. So talk about evangelization of the world. You know, partly you go, ugh, but partly you go, wow, talk about an easy saint-making factory. You're surrounded by opportunities to live out your faith boldly. So listeners in Oregon, be encouraged that you can just step out your door and easily witness in the culture that is the reality, that we can push back those ripples of Satan and that we can regain territory today. So be encouraged to go forth.
Exactly. And a little background on Pat and I, he got located in Rapid City, South Dakota as the lieutenant commander there of the Air Force Base, Ellsworth Air Force Base, and we got connected. Do you remember the first time we met, Pat?
Oh, goodness. You remind me.
We were in a courtroom. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, in St. Louis.
Yes.
For the 8th District Court decision against Planned Parenthood in South Dakota, for all those different parts of that amazing law in South Dakota. And we were there to pray forward. Oh, that's right. We prayed together in
that's
the courtroom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do remember. Of course, that's how we met each other.
Yes, and you were not assigned to Ellsworth Air Force Base yet. You were there, I believe, in Illinois.
I was, so you drove over.
The river mm-hmm.
at
he
Scott
drove
Air Force
over.
Base.
Yes, with his Life Runner gear and his big smile, and I thought, oh, the reinforcement has shown up. We were so excited to have you there. And then he got moved about 4 months later to Rapid City, South Dakota, where I was serving as a pregnancy center director. And of course, we got involved, and then he got me involved there at the base. What was my role helping you there at the base?
You were the honorary commander for the medical support squadron. And I remember how we took to heart what Jesus said, to be cunning as a serpent and simple as a dove. And we huddled for the first time in that squadron. And you asked me, you said, so what do you want me to do as your honorary commander? And I smiled and I said, do all the things that Jesus wants me to do that I can't legally do.
Mm-hmm.
and you smiled and said, okay. So for listeners, if you're wondering what that looked like, we would go around the squadron on a monthly or every bi-monthly basis, and we would visit with the troops in my squadron. And Stacy, you would ask them if there was anything that you could pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they gave you anything that, you know, they would like you to pray for, you would just go ahead and just do it on the spot. And
mm-hmm.
so here we are in my squadron, you know, praying over my troops, doing things that I couldn't do legally, but certainly I could allow. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't illegal for you to be praying over the troops as the honorary community commander. So, you know, God was smiling at our boldness of spirit, at our creativity, and we, you know, we evangelized in uniform. We evangelized. You know, God is good.
Yes, and we just get around the opportunity to live our faith, live our dedication to our country,
yes.
and reinforce those men and women in the uniform
yes.
that they're not forgotten. That and encouraging them is
yes.
so exciting to be right where we need to be at the right time, isn't it? And that's where you
it
and
is.
I together at this appointed time, we're going to continue on the conversation. I have some major questions for you, and where
right.
we are with your national perspective on life and how we can make a difference here in Salem, Oregon. We'll be back with Pat right after this break. You're listening to KSLM News, Reliable News Talk Radio, Salem's Choice.
Hey, you in the corner shaking in those boots.
Oh, yeah. That's the happy song, the happy dance song, Pat.
Yeah.
I love Mercy Me and their music that gets us going in the morning. And my intro song, as you probably recognize, is Overcomer. And certainly in our lives and the things that we come across day to day, the opposition, sometimes not only that we know are known people who are opposed to us, but sometimes internally too, things develop. We learn how to be women and men of faith in prayer and standing strong and keep standing. And that's what I admire about you. Over the years now, Life Runners was founded. Tell me the story about how Life Runners got founded and when exactly that took place.
Well, for one moment, before we talk about me and the team that you and I are part of and who leads it, and of course we know it's guided by the Spirit and we're happy to follow at His pace. But before that, I just want to affirm a couple things in you, Stacy. First of all, for listeners, kind of a couple musician comments from our first segment. We were talking about when you were the honorary commander for the Ellsworth Air Force Base Medical Support Squadron that I commanded. And I remember that year that you were the honorary commander, we set the base record for the highest morale survey ever recorded at Ellsworth Air Force Base.
Oh, that's right.
And I wanted listeners to know that that was by no coincidence. There was nothing practical that we did. It was absolutely from us opening ourselves to the boldness of faith that those founding fathers meant our country to be, that we allowed God to form that unit, those troops. We opened that up, and of course it affected morale. It affected morale because those blessings that you gave the troops that I allowed, of course it made them stronger and freer. So I just wanted to reinforce what made us the greatest country in the world is us opening ourselves to the power of God. And we have an experience together where I can give real data mm-hmm. that there is a reflection of that. The highest ranked morale squadron in the history of Ellsworth Air Force Base is the one that you helped me lead and help God anoint and bless. So I wanted to thank you for everyone to hear about that. And that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
The second thing is I want to affirm in you to make you smile and all the listeners smile as well is the first time you put on your Life Runners jersey that says Remember the Unborn and a big cross on the front. And yes, it was your hoodie. And you put that hoodie on and you and I were heading to the airport to head to the March for Life in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when you looked at me when we met each other at the airport and you said, Pat, I feel like a superhero in this hoodie. And you remember what I said? Because you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it is heroic, as we know, to defend the least of these. It's heroic to wear a shirt that says, Remember the Unborn. Why? Because we know from social science that 78% of post-abortion women said that if just one person or a sign had encouraged them to choose life in this culture, if just one person or one sign had encouraged them to choose life, they would not have aborted their baby. 78%.
Mm.
So if that doesn't empower listeners to speak up, reach out, put on a shirt and wear their witness that says Remember the Unborn. And of course I need to give the last piece of really good news. Running is optional in the apostolate that you and I are part of.
That's right.
You just need to be able to wear your witness and put on a shirt that says Remember the Unborn. So those are two fun, powerful memories I wanted to share before we transition to everything else going on in our nation and the fight for life. But high five to you, Stacy, for your bold witness. For that. And your leadership, you know, you kind of alluded to it, but you didn't hit it straight on. I also want listeners to know that you were the executive director for a pregnancy help center. And I was blessed to be your board chairman in that service. You know, we did service on an Air Force base together, but we also did service at a pregnancy help center together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just great frontline service. And speaking as a retired Air Force guy, it was the pregnancy help center service that made me feel like a Marine guy, because Marines are on the front line, and a pregnancy help center is on the front line. And I love the motto of the Marines, which is Semper Fidelis, which is always faithful, and that is certainly you and Life Runners. So that kind of melds us all together on this first Wednesday, on your first Life Wednesday. So we proclaim the good news with all that encouragement for everyone listening, the whole body of Christ. Be encouraged. There are things we can do, and it does matter.
In fact, today I'm going to tour the local pregnancy center here,
yes.
Pat, and it's named Hope Pregnancy Center, and I'm so excited to meet the staff and bring encouragement to the front lines. In fact, kind of a funny, and you'll understand this, when I called the director, I said, hi, I'm a recovering pregnancy center director. And just want to bring reinforcement and encouragement to what they're doing here on the front lines. And of course, they also are a medical clinic providing the free ultrasound services,
right.
And really those life changes and
right.
making a difference in helping people see that their life matters, their child's life matters, and it's
right.
a legacy. And so
in the name, Stacy, did you say it's the Hope Pregnancy Health Center?
Yes, it is. Yes,
and,
it
you
is.
Know, isn't that interesting to put that in contrast to Satan's lies? Because there is a late-term abortion facility in Granite City, Illinois, just across from St. Louis, called the Hope Clinic. So it's a double lie. It's a lie because hope? Are you kidding me? An abortion bringing someone hope? What a lie. Clinic? What a lie. I mean, there's no clinic in an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I commanded an Air Force clinic, and clinics are to help people be better. It's to heal them and make them better, not to kill one person and hurt another. So what a lie that abortion clinics call themselves clinics. So we, as listeners, as the body of Christ, as people that know the truth, need to not call them clinics, but call them abortion facilities. And you teed up in before the program the national news about Louisiana and how they have, moving to the Supreme Court, the decision about whether to require abortion facilities to be held to clinic standards, like having hospital admission privileges, et cetera. And isn't it interesting that the Supreme Court knocked down the same or similar Texas law in 2016 and said, no, abortion clinics, not clinics, don't need to be held to clinic standards. Why? Well, it kind of makes sense. Because in a way, from a logic standpoint, the Supreme Court was acknowledging they're not clinics.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're not being held to clinic standards.
Right.
Because they're not doing healing work. So that was a great story to start this hour on the national news to be able to speak truth to. And let's hope the Supreme Court gets it right this time with Louisiana.
Excellent. Coming back after this break, we're going to hit some pretty where we're at. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the movie Unplanned, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
So as we come back, you're listening to KSLM News. Yes, it's a wonderful day. So excited to have you tuning in. Thank you so much. I'm Stacy Ann, and currently at the KSLM studios. It's 45 degrees at 7:35, and with us, we have my good friend, Dr. Patrick Castle, and he's sharing about life runners and about how we know each other, and it's so fun to get caught up with one another and see what God is doing through you and through life runners. I'm just amazed. Did you say 17,000 teammates?
Yeah, so Stacy, 2 years ago, there were 6,757 teammates. So in 2 years, the team has more than doubled.
Wow.
So we're at 14,559 teammates today. And that's just amazing because those teammates are all in Christ for pro-life. They're all in, and they're all in Christ for pro-life.
That's fantastic. And your story is so compelling on how in the Air Force, if I recall, you and some buddies were regular runners, and you were just compelled to what can you do as husbands and fathers and men in our community
right.
for the life issue. Can you revisit that for me and kind of refresh my memory on how it birthed?
You bet. I mean, everybody that loves God, everybody that's pro-life has a story. You know, if they just stop and reflect, there's going to be fingerprints and miracles, and you know, blessed are we to have eyes that see and ears that hear, and then have the, you know, are open to the grace to propel us into the culture to evangelize. And of course the root of evangelization is invitation. So that's exactly what you're describing happened with Life Runners. So I had a pursuit to break 3 hours running up a mountain in Colorado called Pikes Peak, the Pikes Peak Ascent in 2006, and I trained on that mountain, I prayed on that mountain, in this desire of my heart, going up that mountain racing, had a great encounter with God through a meeting with a saint by the name of Padre Pio. And our interview is not about St. Padre Pio, but certainly was inspired by, and folks can Google him, Google Padre Pio, and be fascinated about the life of Padre Pio. And so had an encounter with the Communion of Saints through this Padre Pio, and that compelled, as you described, me to do more, to put my faith into action, to reach out, to listen more, and that resulted in studying evil, through a book called Unbound. And if you got a mental note or a pen in your hand, write down Unbound by Neil Lozano, because it's a modern day version of the early church. It allows us to see how evil is working in the modern world. And when you really stop and think about how it correlates, now evil didn't stop after the last word in Scripture ended. Of course evil is here. Of course people are still obsessed, suppressed, possessed. Of course there's still exorcisms going on. We just don't read about them. They don't make the front page of the newspaper. But isn't it fascinating when you stumble on it and you read about a pastor or a priest that in their life, you know, when you read their eulogy, had done hundreds or thousands of exorcisms. That makes sense. Evil is absolutely real. And of course, God is absolutely real. And so this study, as you were describing, was with a group of men. We were runners, and we served together in the Air Force. Several of us taught at the Air Force Academy, and so we studied for 6 months evil. And at the end of those 6 months, Stacy, we kind of looked at each other in this coffee shop and said, okay, well, where does God want us to serve? How are we going to push back on evil? How are we going to bring Jesus to the world? And we identified abortion as the crown jewel of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so this group of men in Colorado Springs, once a month we'd go and stand in front of the abortion facility in Old Town, Old Colorado Springs, and stand there to be the face of Christ for ladies that were going in for an abortion, and the face of Christ when ladies were leaving the abortion facility. And when we had an opportunity, we'd say to them, even after an abortion, to say, God still loves you. So that they don't lose hope, because we know half of abortions are repeat abortions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that, but nearly half of abortions are repeat. So we want to break that grip that Satan has on those people and let them know that there is freedom through Christ. And then once a month, we would go and do a ministry of presence at nursing homes so that we could defend life from conception to natural death. And we were blessed. And from that, Stacy, came a devotions group. We exchanged morning devotions, pro-life devotions, online, and more people started being in that CC box. It became a blog in 2008, and then Life Runners was launched when 12 people out of about 300 people on this pro-life blog said, yes, we're going to go raise money for ultrasound technology for the Life Network in Colorado Springs by running the Chicago Marathon on 12 October 2008. And since then, it went from a group of marathoners to a group of anyone that wants to run wearing a shirt that says Remember the Unborn to anybody that's willing to walk out their front door and move in the Spirit. And you're going to love this last part, Stacy, because you already know this, and listeners are going to love this last part. And I just kind of smile when I say it, but the walkers are better life runners because they're moving slower so people can read their message, Remember the Unborn, on their shirt and see the cross. So it's not a blurred cross or was there a cross or what did that say. So if you're a walker, if you're, you know, 78 years old, or if you're 102 years old, our oldest life runner is 101. We would love to have those slow movers on the team. We've got a lady in a nursing home in Sioux City in a wheelchair that wears that jersey and ministers to her friends and family in a nursing home. So we never retire from ministry, and God is always calling us to preach the good news. But there, in a you know, elevator version on a Wednesday morning, is how Life Runners came to be the largest pro-life team in the world. 2,500 cities.
That's incredible, Pat, and I love how you make, you'll love this, Stacy, because you know me, you know, the most running, especially here in Oregon, that I do is from the building to my car when it's raining.
You're here, and everyone can see it when you're strolling to your car.
But I will say this, and I'll make this as a public declaration, and I've said this before, but I want to make it on my bucket list this year to do a 5K. And what better place here in Salem, Oregon, where our health and the environment are our priority in this state.
Yeah.
There are a lot of running opportunities, a lot of walking opportunities, a lot of charitable events. And I will say this, you may or may not know this here in Oregon, but right now there's not one protection of the unborn. in the state of Oregon. So there's lots of work to be done, and we need lots of teammates here with this message.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to lead the Salem, Oregon Life chapter and gather others who want to join in. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page. You can email me at stacy@kslm.news. Find out how you can join on. And I want you to share a little bit about your unplanned experience. Tell me about that.
You bet. And Stacy, from your last comment, what I will do today is I will add on the drop-down menu for chapters a Salem, Oregon.
Fantastic.
Chapter. So folks can select that. And if they beat me to setting that up, you can put no chapter and then just put a little note, I want to be in the Salem, Oregon chapter that Stacy is going to be leading. And we know that wherever two or more are gathered, God has given us his commitment to the Holy Spirit's there. And so when you think it takes five to form a chapter, and imagine if you saw one person with a shirt that says, remember the unborn. What if you saw two or three or four? You're going to be encouraged. You're going to realize that the heaven is a team effort, that the body of Christ is a team. And we remember that there was just, in one gospel it said five loaves, I think another gospel said seven, but we know it was less than 10 loaves and fishes that went into that basket that fed 5,000 people. So that holy remnant, if that's you listening, you know, if you're like, hey, will it really matter? It will matter. Jump on liferunners.org, hit the join now, take 90 seconds to fill out the registration to be on the team to get communications, and order a shirt that we call our jersey that says remember the unborn, and wear it as a public witness because it matters. So that's exciting. Thank you for that public declaration of leading a pro-life chapter there in Salem. So the movie Unplanned, well, I'm just going to start with a little humor because on the morning drive and when we're getting started on our day, humor is like, you know, coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the story of me being part of the Unplanned movie. It's Abby Johnson, and a lot of listeners might recognize her name. She's the movie Unplanned was based on her story. She's a former Planned Parenthood director. She was the Planned Parenthood director of the year at one point. So she was really good at what she did. And she, of course, realized that what she did was against God's will. And she eventually converted, kind of had a St. Paul moment, being knocked off her horse by way of seeing an ultrasound-guided abortion. So she saw a baby be aborted. And that was the lightning bolt where she said, I can't do this anymore. But my part in the movie is she called me on a Tuesday morning in March of 2018 and said, hey, Pat, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, well, I'm going to work as a, you know, as an executive at this big chemistry industry. And, you know, that's what I'm doing tomorrow. And she says, well, could you get off work tomorrow? And I said, why? She said, well, Rick Warrens was going to play the evangelical pastor in my movie for the scene that kind of convicted her heart when God spoke to her and got her thinking God's way, but he can't make it. He has a scheduling conflict. Could you pinch hit? Could you fly down tomorrow and be the evangelical pastor in my movie? And I paused, Stacy, and I said, well, there's two problems. She goes, well, what's the first problem? I said, well, I'm not an evangelical pastor.
Mm.
And she said, oh, that's okay. Everybody thinks you are.
That's right.
And I said, okay. And she said, what's the second problem? I said, I'm not an actor. You know, the last role I had was in fifth grade at Christ the King School in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I was the captain of the USS Pinafore. And she said, well, that's okay. Just come down and be yourself. So I went down to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I taped the scene in the movie where she heard the Bible being read to her, and God convicted her heart that she needed to stop aborting children. And from her book, the verse is the millstone verse. And the millstone verse says, to lead a child away from God, if you lead a child away from God, it'd be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and cast into the ocean. That's the verse that convicted her heart. So I read that, and it was a little short scene, you know, and they taped it and did all different angles, and great. Well, about a month before they released the movie, the director, Carrie Solomon, called me and said, Pat, I got some, you know, kind of bad news. We had to cut your scene.
Hold that thought, Pat. We're going to go to a break, and I want to continue on. Hold on. Yeah, because I want to hear the rest of the story. Yeah. Hold on just a second. You're listening to KSLM News. Good morning, Salem.
How can I make...
Hey!
Good morning, Salem. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, Salem's choice for reliable news. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to be along with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Life Wednesday also happens to be my granddaughter's birthday. She's 8 today. Good day to you, Chloe, and happy birthday. Want to encourage you, you can take us anywhere you go. If you're moving or leaving the area or maybe traveling, you can download our app on your app store, and certainly you can listen live on KSLM.news. With me today is my good friend, Dr. Pat Castle, and we've been working together on the front lines to make abortion unthinkable everywhere we go, spreading the good news and the reason why life is so precious. You know, it says in God's word in many places that we are created in his image. He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. He has a plan for us and a destiny. It's by no mistake that we are here, and we speak life and we bring life everywhere we go. And you were talking about before the break, you were talking about how you were asked by Abby Johnson to come and be a part of her movie, which is based on her book that she had written about her experience leaving the abortion industry and transitioning into a warrior on the front lines of life through the media, and now through her writing the book and now this movie. And I am not sure, in just the short amount of time I have been in Salem, I've asked people here, have you seen the movie? And they're unfamiliar with this unplanned movie. And so go ahead and continue to share. You were asked to be the pastor. You went and flew there.
I went and taped it, Stacey, and then, you know, got a call a month before they released the movie. And the director, Carrie Solomon, said, Pat, we had to cut your scene. And I wanted to explain that to you. And I said, well, it's probably because I'm, you know, I'm a runner and a scientist, not an actor. And he goes, no, that isn't the reason. And we laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that we had to change the verse, that millstone verse, because we screened it with post-abortion ladies because they wanted to make sure, Stacey, that the post-abortion ladies received it in compassion, not condemnation.
Right.
And, of course, the word compassion means to suffer with. They wanted to make sure that the tone of the movie drew them in into a healing posture, into a, you know, one to discuss, to bring light to those pains. Because we know that abortion is one of these things that gets buried and not spoken about, but it's there, it's regretted, it impacts. We know that 90% of relationships fail, 90% when an abortion enters in. Think of that stat.
Wow.
So they wanted to make sure that there was no aversion, no condemnation. In that millstone verse, that caused condemnation and aversion. So they last minute grabbed a local pastor, they retaped it with the Psalm 139, that God knit us together in our mother's wombs, just to make sure that that group of, that important group, or that target audience, the post-abortion ladies, wanted to reach them, stop that continuum of abortion. I mentioned earlier in our conversation that half of abortions, nearly half, are repeat abortions. And they said, you know, sorry. And I said, don't be sorry. Awesome decision. And of course, you and I know, Stacey, in ministry, it's not about us.
That's for sure.
It's all about him. And if they don't remember our names, all we care is they remember his name. And they remember who we defend. That's the least of these. So, amen. It was a great, you know, opportunity to be able to speak the good news and to be able to bring light to that we need to move in the pro-life movement with compassion and mercy and forgiveness, just like Christ did for us. Amen?
Amen. And one of the, it's so true. And one of the things that I love about you, with your science background, being in Turkey during 9/11, your role there with the biochemical weapon, all of that stuff, you have the biology and the chemistry background to back with facts that life indeed starts at conception. And
true.
You think in this modern day, how people are still being being told that a child is a blob of tissue,
right,
or a product
Come
of
on.
Conception, anything to justify the action. And what I've found in my years of working on the front lines with women, walking them through that healing process, is they would say, just as you talked about earlier in the show, that if they'd had one person stand up and say they could do this, if they were provided the resources, they would have chose differently, and that they were basically led to believe it wasn't a human being yet.
Right.
And that justified, and even in the book, Abby Johnson talks about the word tracks that they use to convince or sell abortion and the idea of abortion to women. And what I found is women initially have relief after their abortion because it released the stress of the situation. But for years are tortured and tormented where they can't even speak it. I've seen women put miscarriage or loss or a date.
Right.
They won't even say the word abortion. And if you're someone, or you personally, man or woman, who've lost a child to abortion, or if you as a listener know somebody in your family and you're afraid to stand boldly for this issue and for the unborn because you're afraid to offend a family member or think you're walking in condemnation towards you, towards them, that is not the truth. The truth is, bring it to the light and show them how to get help and healing. And we're here to tell you there is hope and healing. I have many friends who've lost children to abortion who have been healed, and they are whole, and they're speaking out on behalf of protecting life. And I know you've seen
it. They're powerful witnesses. Someone who has been there and has been set free. What a powerful witness to look at someone considering an abortion saying, listen, I went there and it was no solution. It was a lie. And I can speak as an eyewitness to it. You know, you don't go in there. This is not the road to freedom. And what a powerful witness, someone who that is post-abortion, to be able to set others free. So I agree, there is freedom, and then they can help others with freedom.
So where are you today, and what's your the rest of this day look like for pro-life advocate Pat?
Yeah, I want to kind of wind us down with a fire hose of encouragement. So
Good.
I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, and I want to, you know, give a few notes about what's going on in Omaha, Nebraska, mention some Oregon things, and just give some encouragement. So that round of encouragement before I roll into that fire hose to kind of transition us, the strategies that we've overcome, the lies that we've overcome, is Roe v. Wade was passed on 22 January 1973 on the lie of a blob of tissue, that a baby was a blob of tissue. And we both know that scientifically speaking, that's a lie. And then the second was choice. That to put a mom's choice above a baby's choice versus realizing that all Americans, we all have our God-given right of you know, life and freedom and the pursuit of happiness, and one is not over the other. And so we push through that lie of choice. And then the third lie was that abortion was health related, that somehow it was our medical treatment. And of course we know the Hippocrates oath said first do no harm, and there's nothing medical about a medical abortion. It's a chemical abortion, and there's nothing clinic about an abortion clinic. So we made it through that lie in the last 5-6 years, finally starting to overcome it. But now the current lie is that abortion is normal. Why? Because 1 in 5 pregnancies end in abortion, 1 in 3 American women have had an abortion. And so the abortionist says, well, that's normal. No, it's not. And that's why we speak truth to it. So we will overcome that lie. We will end abortion. We have to believe and pray and act. But as we give now some encouragement, we think back to 1991, 1.6 million abortions. Today, we're on pace for 850,000 abortions. Of course, one abortion is an infinite number too many. A little baby dying dismembered in the womb.
That's a great note to end on, Pat. I so thank you for being here. We'll put a a link on our website on how we can grow our Life Runner team here and be bold in Salem, Oregon, and around this region.
Keep going.
For life. Thank you for your time today. We keep you in our prayers as we continue to march forward, all in Christ, right?
For pro-life.
For pro-life. Have a great day, Pat. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in, my friends. Today is a great day for life. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, Salem's choice for reliable news. I'm Stacey Ann. Tomorrow, join me at 7 a.m. as together we'll continue to highlight what's going on here in Salem, Oregon, around our region and across the world.